Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
How are we all doing on this summer Thursday? Evan and Tiki on the Fan. A nice free night with no baseball. The Yankees are off. Get to lick their wounds after a horrible stretch, but at least they won. They go into the off day with a victory, and they are in a playoff spot. And the New York Mets got to figure crap out because they just had what was a disastrous homestand, losing 2 out of 3 to the Giants and getting swept by the Cleveland Guardians. You can play a game. It's a fun game. It's called If the Season Ended Today game. It's always fun. The New York Mets are the third wild card team. They have dropped all the way down to 3. Now, last year, they were also the third wild card team. No harm, no foul. They got to the NLCS. They currently have a 3-game lead over Cincinnati for that last spot. So not a huge lead. And they do play the Reds later this year. So it ain't insurmountable, but they are in the third wild card spot. If the season ended today, they would play the Philadelphia Phillies in a wild card series. But the Phillies are only a half game behind the Dodgers. Oh. So it is possible, if things continue to fall the way they are, that we could get Mets, Dodgers in a best of three. And look, beggars can't be choosers. The Mets have rarely made the postseason in back-to-back years in their history. But if you gave me a choice, you said, Evan, here's the deal. You are a wild card team, okay? You didn't win the division. Sorry, best of luck next time. Forget home road. I'm going to give you an opponent. Could be any opponent you want. Of the realistic playoff teams, give me the Dodgers in a best of three. Yes, 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 yes. Give me the Dodgers in a best of three. Give it to me.
Why?
Give it to me.
You own the Phillies.
Give it to me. I want the Dodgers in a best of three.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
What am I doing?
So if you lose the wild card round, you have the easy out of going, we lost to the champs.
No. That's a great pivot that some Met fans will use. That's a loogie excuse. I think that give me the best team in the shortest series, because I think you have a better chance to beat them there than in a best of seven. I tend to think in a best of seven, the likelier scenario is the better team winning.
Of course.
So in a best of three where I think anybody could beat anybody anyway, give me the Dodgers. Throw them in there. And can you imagine them losing? Losing a best of three wild card series? So we got a long way to go. Hopefully the Mets win the division, so this is not even a discussion. But as of right now, if the season ended today, it would be Mets-Phillies, but only a half game away from Mets-Dodgers. Do you want to play that game for the Yankees? Because that game's fun, too.
The Yankees would play Houston, right?
Very good. Mm-hmm. If the season ended today, the Yankees and the Astros in a wild card series.
Oh, God.
In Houston.
Sign me up.
Really?
You know, it's all right there in front of us.
I'm not scared of these. I have my issues with the Yankees. These Astros, I'm not scared of.
Yeah, you're more scared of the Yankees messing it up themselves than the Astros.
You, believe me, they could blow it in Toronto, in Boston. They're not losing to the Houston Astros in the playoffs. These Astros are nothing.
Now,
Astros just got swept by the A's.
The Astros are not playing well, to his point. I wouldn't say they're nothing, but
and the A's are?
No, they're struggling too.
Oh, we got David Bednar now. We're back.
A lot of teams are struggling. I'd acknowledge it. Like, my point is the Mets and the Yankees aren't the only ones. The Astros are one of them. I don't know if this applies to you. Okay, so because the Mets and the Dodgers' recent history is just last year's NLCS, mm-hmm. beating them in the wild card series would be great. No harm, no foul. I'm excited. Let's move on. Because of the Yankees' history with the Astros, the 17 LCS, the 19 LCS, the 22 LCS, would it be a little disappointing if your wild card revenge is just in a wild card series?
No.
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 I think it's just winning a series.
Okay.
Not letting them continue to block you.
Okay. And it's not even revenge, to be honest with you. Like
it is not revenge.
If the Yankees beat the Astros in a wild card series, it's exhale. You've moved on to the next round. You've saved yourself the embarrassment of going out in the wild card round. Nothing about the Yankees beating the Astros in a wild card round would be like, we got you for those ALCSs, because those were still ALCSs, dude. I think it's completely erased.
You're right.
From
it's
that.
Not. It's not high enough.
There's no way Yankee fan goes, "Is we got revenge on them." What are you talking about? They stopped you from going to the World Series. Right.
That's why I would think beating them in the LCS is the only revenge. Beating them in a first round wild card series would be great. We beat them, but it wouldn't be that ultimate revenge you're looking for.
I would give you that. If Correa and Altuve and company were in the ALCS with the Yankees and they beat them, then you hang your hat on revenge, not in a wild card.
Coming up in exactly 6 minutes, we'll get to Aaron Glenn's big decision earlier today. But let's get to some of your phone calls. Frank's in Syosset. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Frank.
Evan, Tiki, Sean, Tommy, everybody, hi.
Hi.
I think I have the worst mental Yankee mistake in the field during Monday night's game against the Rangers.
Yes.
They had runners on second and third. Max Fried decides to try to pick off the runner on second. The ball gets past Volpe, and the runner on third scores. Why would you try to pick off a base runner on second base? He wasn't going to third. They had a runner on third. Why would you do that?
I don't think you always do that because you're afraid of guys running. You do it because you could catch them off guard. Maybe they're taking too big of a lead. They don't think you're going to throw over, and you're doing it to try to steal an out.
Because of exactly what you said, you know the guy can't go to third. The runner on second can't go to third. So he's more likely to inch closer to third, knowing that why would the pitcher be interested in you?
Max Fried making a mistake, and obviously the mistake is the throw is so rare. He's a Gold Glove caliber pitcher.
Yeah, but does that matter?
No, because clearly Gold Glove players make mistakes on the Yankees.
It doesn't matter for the Yankees this year.
I know.
The past history isn't telling you what's going to happen going forward. We've seen it. Seen it with Volpe all season long. Fried, you see with all these guys.
Caballero was here for a day and let a ball go in the next glove.
Right. Jess Chisholm couldn't get out of his glove a week or so ago. Like, all of these guys are having the same issues.
Joe Beningo used to make a comment. I never knew what it meant, but I started repeating it because I understood the context of what he was saying. So he would say anyone who gets traded to the Yankees becomes great. And he would say, anytime they go to the Yankees, like they go to Lourdes. I don't know what that meant.
Going to Lourdes?
Yeah. I don't know what that meant.
Like Lord and Taylor's?
I don't know. Or the Lord himself? I don't know.
Going to Lourdes.
So, probably a fancy clothes store.
Yeah,
Lord and Taylor. You know, a regular person can go in there and then they come out looking better.
Is that what he meant?
I guess.
Back in the day. Now,
all right. You know. Joe,
are they still open?
I think there's one at Roosevelt Field, I think.
But Joe would always say that. Like, he gets Scott Brosius. It's like he goes to Lourdes or something, right? The Yankees have now become the opposite of it. Every time they acquire a player, it's like they become stupid. Every time they acquire a player, it's like they forget how to play defense. Your point, Caballero. Or even Max Fried making a couple of mistakes. So it's the exact opposite of the way it used to be. Let's go to Zach in Florida. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. What's going on? So I have a perfect comparison for these 2025 Mets. And it's the 2025 New York Rangers. Both teams go deep into the playoffs the year before. And then everyone has optimism for the next year. The Rangers get rid of a locker room favorite, Barkley Goodrow. The Mets with Jose Iglesias. Both teams start out great. Everything's fine, but they're carried. The Rangers carried by their goaltending. The Mets carried by their starting pitching. Both of them fall off. And now the teams are in a free fall out of the playoffs.
I got to tell you, it's a great comp. I hate it, but I love it.
Right. I was waiting for Sean to push back. But
no, he can't, man.
I can't.
The Rangers they got another point last night.
No. Okay. So full disclosure, after the collapse on Friday night that the Yankees admitted to a man had affected them mentally, I was that close to sending out that tweet that the 2025 Yankees are the 2025 Rangers.
Oh, that the Yankees are the Rangers.
Start off, you're hot, you're in a spot, you have all these high expectations.
But who exited that was the catalyst? Like, who exited?
From the Yankees, Soto.
I mean, he's quoting Barkley Goodrow.
Was he beloved?
So I would think so. I think we all beloved him.
It's a different thing, but it's similar. The Met one, in terms of the departure, works because Barkley Goodrow, is that who he cited as the departure?
Mm. I would have gone more. They played games with their captain, Jacob Trouba, who eventually got traded. But yes,
right.
I get it.
I think where the comp works, and it actually could work for both teams in the great start aspect of it, too. Like, you're coming off a year that was a success. Mm-hmm. You went very far. You get off to a good start. Right. So it's like, hey, we're good.
Right. Probably buoyed by a little bit by last year.
Yeah.
Yes. And both teams, the Yankees and Mets, qualify for that because they both got off to good starts.
And you kept saying, no matter how bad it looked during the Rangers season, you know what? Their pedigree is they'll figure this out. They hung around long enough, they'll figure it out, and then they just don't figure it out and don't make it.
What's so scary about the Mets and the Yankees is that if, let's say, the Yankees, because I think we'd all admit missing the playoffs for either team is a disaster, right? That goes without saying. If the Yankees miss the playoffs, it's kind of easy and understandable what they're going to do. They got a lot of guys who are free agents. They're not going to bring them back. They could change a lot of things around Aaron Judge. The Mets are not changing a lot of things. Like, that core is likely, like Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor, and even to a degree Brandon Nimmo, they're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
And I don't think Steve Cohen or David Stearns would do anything drastic after a big disappointment.
Well, you have too many guys waiting to come up.
Yeah.
You have too many kids in the minors that should be impactful at some point and in the very near future. So what are you doing other than waiting for them to become? I'm talking about for the Mets now.
Yeah.
Not for the Yankees, even though there are a couple for the Yankees, but for the Mets, there's a ton of guys down there. Pitching and position
players. Absolutely. And that's why I don't think, even in a disastrous outcome, which I still don't think is going to happen, as worried as I am, I don't think they're going to do anything drastic. I could see the Yankees doing some drastic stuff. Mm.
Definitely. I could see the Mets changing their approach and maybe going after a big starting pitcher, whether it's via trade or something, and saying we need that stopper. But imagine a world we lived
Depends on the age.
Imagine saying
and it's not going to be a big time contract. You know that. It's because David Stearns just doesn't do that. He's not doing what the Yankees did with Max Fried. It's not happening.
Trade a bunch for Paul Skeens?
Yeah, but he's not available. Like, we're just making
the offseason? If you gave a big enough package to the Pirates?
I just don't think it's realistic right now. And in terms of going after big starting pitcher, A, Tiki's right, and B, who are you talking about?
Gave you any.
Who?
They could trade for Paul Skeens?
No. Of a free agent starter, changing the approach.
I haven't looked.
No, I did. There's nobody.
No, we did it the other day. There are no free
agents.
There's
nobody. Dylan Cease. Right. They're going to go give 7 years to Dylan Cease.
Yeah, we did it before the trade deadline. Who's the rental?
Right.
Michael King, I guess.
Michael, he's good. Yeah, he's good up there, but not the big, big guy. Let's go to Scott in Secaucus. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, guys? What's happening?
All's well.
What's up?
So, 25, 30 years ago, I played minor league baseball. I was a starter, and I used to come out to the old Bulls theme song that Jordan used to come out to.
Yeah.
But right. I think the perfect song would be a song by Volbeat called "The Warrior's Call." And when I tell you it makes Metallica's song, it would seem lame.
Wow!
The song would hype
I never
you
heard
up,
of it. Do
you, you up right?
Volbeat.
Right in the beginning, it hyped you.
It's called "The Warrior Call" by Volbeat. You let me know when you have it, Connor, and I'll close my eyes. We'll all close our eyes unless you're driving, because that's dangerous. And we will imagine
your favorite closer opening the bullpen door and walking out.
Yes.
That's what we'll imagine.
I made the case, I think it was like a year ago with you guys, that Roman Reigns' entrance would be perfect.
Yeah,
and
you
all were like, it was too low-key. Mm. It wasn't like exciting enough. Camillo. DeVos! Oh, my God. I want to punch somebody.
All right.
Wow.
Hmm.
That works, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not bad.
It's just the drum beat is great. I mean, that's a cool one.
That's not bad. All right, real quick. Obviously, you guys may have forgotten, but there's football. Not only tonight, but the local teams are playing over the weekend. The Giants are playing 1 o'clock against the Bills.
Yes.
And the Jets are playing at night against the Green Bay Packers. By the way, I want to put this in people's heads. The Jets are in Green Bay, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Mets playing this weekend, Tiggy?
Milwaukee.
Oh.
The best team in baseball right now. The first team to 70 wins.
Don't worry about that,
What are you talking about?
They're great. They're great. It's not about that. They're playing in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
And the Jets are
from Milwaukee left Milwaukee, and he got better.
Forget about it.
Be a Mets-Jets dinner.
Forget about that. Where are the Jets playing?
They're playing in Milwaukee.
They're playing in Lambeau. That is a 1 hour and 25-minute drive. Who's in it with me?
Mm.
Who wants to fly? Can you tell the bosses I'm off tomorrow? Or I'll do a remote live from Milwaukee.
Mm.
Go see Mets Brewers on a Friday night. By the way, I'm kidding. I'll be here tomorrow. Go see Mets Brewers on a Friday night. Wake up the next day. Skip the Met game. It's a night game. Go to Lambeau, Jets, Packers.
Right.
Come back to Milwaukee Sunday afternoon baseball. Who's with me?
I'll pass.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too.
Really? Fun trip.
Yeah.
What part's the least appealing part? The Jet preseason game.
The fact that nobody's going to be playing in those games.
Well, Tiki,
still Lambeau.
Hold on a second.
I've been to Lambeau.
It's probably the cheapest to get into Lambeau too.
80 yards at Lambeau.
Hold on a second.
I'm good.
Breaking news: NFL running back's been to Lambeau.
Now you said nobody's playing.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn begs to differ. Hey, Aaron, are you going to play your starters?
We're playing. We're playing. I can't tell you how much the guy's going to play. You know, it's going to factor by how the game goes, but we're playing. Because I want to play. That's the reason.
It's important at this point for Justin and these guys to
play. I want our guys to play. That's the reason.
First of all, number one, he's playing his starters, which I think he needed to do.
I mean, of course, it's a new regime and it's a relatively new team when you think about it in a lot of ways because of all the changes that probably are going to happen, you know, this year and the following years. He needs to know.
And not only that, and tell me if I'm crazy here. I think and Aaron passed the test. So I just want to say, Aaron Glenn, you're still my guy. If he sat his starters and did some cockamamie answer on why, he's a hypocrite because he's been running these practices and I love it. Like, hey, we're in college again.
Right.
How could you do that and then bubble wrap your players for a preseason game? It would feel like, to me, a major contradiction. So I'm happy.
Well, he's also from the – I'm curious. What did the Lions do over the last couple of years?
It's a good question.
They were more of a veteran team, especially at quarterback, so I guess that probably affects it. But I wonder what he'd picked up from the Lions and Dan Campbell's preseason protocols.
How they did it.
Like, what did they do?
What'd they do, Sean? You watched the preseason.
Well, last year, the Lions, I don't believe, played their starters versus the Giants in the game because they had those two joint practices.
Right.
And I think they used the joint practices as the substitute.
Right. It was
a lot of hand and hooker.
It was like it was game, no tackling, but
exactly.
Game speed.
So
that's what they do in those joint practices.
And next week, we get the Giants and Jets with two of those joint practices. So maybe Aaron Glenn wants to see how they respond, and then he won't do that versus the Giants because of the joint practice.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, look, Justin Fields is not any way or shape or form a star in this league.
No.
And so he doesn't get the respect that, say, Aaron Rodgers had when he came in and he was a starter. You don't really have to play. We know what you're made out of. We know what it's going to look like, et cetera, et cetera. Justin Fields kind of has to still earn people's respect. And his and belief, to be honest with you. And so for Aaron Glenn to insist that his starters play, I think a lot of it is because of Justin Fields, right? You put your young-ish quarterback with the starters, so you get a little bit of a taste of it.
100%.
It's not like he has this wealth of knowledge on how to be a really good player in the NFL guiding him for the 2025 season. So the only way you're going to find it is if you do it now.
No doubt.
To add to that, this is consistent under Dan Campbell. They use, and they're doing it this week, joint practices instead of preseason games for their starters.
Right.
Right, but the Jets aren't doing that. They're playing their starters.
You're talking about next week.
Yeah, we'll see what they do next week. I don't know. I'm talking about this week.
So when they do the joint practice, the starters don't play.
Yeah.
That's fine. And if that's the case, we'll see. I don't know how I'm going to feel next week. I'm talking about right now. And right now for preseason game number one, especially after I heard so much about how hard the practices are,
right,
how it's like college according to Quinnen Williams, I'm like, of course you got to play your starters. I think the other thing, and I don't know if there's any data to back this up, but I think when you are a team that's going to try to surprise people, and clearly the Jets are trying to do that, don't you think you build an edge by playing a lot more in the preseason than everybody else? So when this season starts and you start against the Steelers, who are playing nobody the first week of the year, Tomlin's already announced it. Nobody's playing. Don't you think...
Preseason game. Yeah.
They don't want to play week one, fine. Don't you think that gives the Jets a little bit of an edge?
I mean, it gets them more game ready. We see this every year with teams slowly getting into their seasons, unless their schedule just provides an easy win for them. But it just takes a long time to actually get used to getting hit again. And so the Jets are getting that out of the way. That's a good thing, in theory, as long as no one gets hurt.
That's why people have gone away
from it, is because they're worried about someone getting hurt.
I get it, but Aaron even said this the other day. They can get hurt in practice. They can get hurt doing a lot of things. And
true.
Am I going to sit here bitching on Monday if Sauce Gardner gets hurt? I'm not going to bitch at playing him. Like, I'll just be bitching as my life as a Jet fan. Like, it'll just be, this is us. This is who we are. But I won't be mad at Aaron Glenn. I like this. And I think because of their circumstance, that's why when we get to the Giants in a second,
it doesn't have to be uniform because I think each situation is different.
Right.
Number one, the Giants have a starting quarterback. It's over. Now, while the Jets have announced Justin Fields as the starting quarterback, he's got a lot to prove. Like you said, he's got to learn this system. He's got to play. So I want the Jets playing guys. Last year, I didn't feel that way, but I also thought things were different last year. Like Aaron Rodgers was a bubble wrap guy. I'm not messing around. I didn't want him to play in the preseason.
Of course not.
So I like that Aaron Glenn did it, and I also like the fact that he continues to be a jerk to everybody. Why?
I don't want to play. That's the reason.
I don't play. Mm-hmm. That's the reason.
Yeah, they kept trying to ask the follow-up question to clarify why he wants him to play. Same answer.
I want to play. That's the reason.
Now you want to play.
Now your guy's head coach isn't telling us anything.
Of course, because Dave's is Bill Belichick with a smile.
So what is he going to do? And also, what should he do? Should he play his starters?
I mean, some of them will play. Like the biggest issue with the Giants over the last couple of years has been continuity. You're just not getting the same players year over year. And it's not even the case this year. I know they've brought in some new pieces on the defensive side, including Javon Holland and Paulson Adebo, but they haven't played with everybody else. Taylor Newbin and Drew Phillips, and it looks like Deontay Banks is going to be the other starting cornerback. They haven't played together, so you got to do it at some point. And particularly with the offensive line. Who the hell is starting the right guard?
Yeah, absolutely. Right? But the offensive line is probably the most important.
100%. And obviously Andrew Thomas isn't playing. So let's say he's compromised at some point throughout the season. Who's playing left tackle? So I think from a Giant standpoint, you just need some consistency of guys being on the field together. Because the only way that works with those five guys up front offensively is if you do it consistently together. Otherwise, you're just kind of guessing. Oh, I think this guy's going to help me out on this one. Wait, what's the call again? It turns into a cluster. And so you got to play. So I think he should start at least the offensive line. I don't think that Russell Wilson's going to play that much. And whether or not Jackson Dart gets a ton of the reps or whether it's Jameis Winston, that's neither here nor there. I think it's more about the offensive line consistency that needs to be developed.
You know what I would do? I'd start all my offensive line. I'd start most of my starters, and I would start Jackson Dart. And I'm a big proponent of you shouldn't play this year.
Right.
But I put him behind your best, and I let the kid play. Because isn't that the best learning experience, just to go out there and play football?
True.
And the results don't matter. Other than injury.
I mean, they matter because you want to see.
Well, for him, they don't matter is my point. Like, we're not burying him. Right. We're not putting him in the Hall of Fame. Like, we should all make a promise, no matter how good he looks in this preseason game. Let's not get nuts and start the guy week one.
Right.
Can you make that promise, Sean?
I can, but you know Giants fans are going nuts if he plays great.
Don't do that because you're lying again.
No. I've actually made this case on this show 15 times this summer.
I understand that. I know you made the case.
Uh-huh.
You are going to flip.
No, I will not.
If Tiki.
I will not.
What do you think of Sean?
He's not going to flip on the preseason.
I will not.
Now, if he plays all three preseason games and looks amazing, Sean might flip a little bit.
Who's been the highest in the show on Russell Wilson being the Giants quarterback?
Is that you now?
Yes.
Certainly not Tiki. He said he's washed.
That was 2 years ago. Now he looks great.
That was February, Tiki.
Look, I'm not going to push
from
for
two
it.
Two seasons ago.
I think Russell Wilson's washed.
I love that.
If the Giants themselves at the end of the preseason did that, then I'm not going to kick and scream and say they shouldn't be doing that. They know him better than me. I have been so wrong on so many of these evaluations and guys, I'm not going to scream and yell. You had me on tape going nuts about DeVito versus the Packers. Like, I'm making that mistake again?
But that's my point. Like, I'm joking with Tiki. July Morash, actually early August Morash, sensible. Mm-hmm. Mid-August Morash, not sensible.
I'm telling you. You're getting level-headed me this year with the Giants.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Level-headed. That being said, they should play the starters.
Is that what that's your vote of confidence, or that's your vote of what you'd like?
Outside of Dexter Lawrence and Malik Nabers, who I think on each side of the ball you could wrap in bubble wrap, I don't care if it's Brian Burns, everybody should get out there for two of these three games, even if it's not this one. What is paramount to the Giants' season?
Well, I think a lot of it with the Giants will be the same as with the Jets. They're probably not going to play a ton in the Giant preseason game.
Well, then I'd like to see them more in this one. Maybe you're worried about the joint practices, but here's the whole key to everything. We know the Chiefs are sitting there lurking week three. We said this last year when it was the Vikings in Washington those first 2 weeks for the Giants.
First 2 weeks are important.
They are so important to make sure you get a win there. They barely got off the bus versus Dallas 2 years ago. It set the whole season back. Last year, losing to Minnesota and Washington ruined the whole season.
I agree with you.
They have not earned the right under Brian Daboll to come out lackluster. They have not earned the right not to play in the preseason. They need to be as ready as anybody those first 2 weeks.
I think you're following my lead on this. Because the Jets and the Giants are not supposed to be good. I'm just talking about the experts. We may think differently. it is probably more important for them to come out of camp and come out of the preseason readier than everyone else so they could steal a few wins early.
I agree. Right.
Because the Pittsburgh Steelers...
Try to. It's going to be hard.
Couple of wins early. Yeah. You said two wins early?
I said they need to try to because it's going to be hard.
Try to.
Right.
Because they're not going
to. It's almost going to be. I mean, think about it. They've got the start.
I know. It's a tough schedule.
Giants cannot be winless heading into that game versus the Saints. They need to make that Saints game look like
five.
Yes.
All right. Let me ask you a question.
Because you follow that up with the Eagles.
Eagles, Denver, Eagles.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I think this is actually a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, first 2 weeks of the season. Okay, just the first two weeks.
Washington, Cowboys.
Giants
both
open.
Both away.
Exactly. In Washington and Dallas. Jets open with two home games.
Mm-hmm.
Home against the Steelers, home against the Bills. Who has a better chance to start this season 1-1 or 2-0?
The Jets.
Okay. I was just curious. Thank you. What about you, Sean?
I think the Giants are winning one of those two. I also think the Jets are beating the Steelers.
But that's not that. That's just who has the most... You're playing at home. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not fighting with that. That's part of why the Jets obviously have.
And you know the opposing quarterback.
I think the worst of those four teams is the Dallas Cowboys. That's why I'm judging it on that.
You're right.
They're on the road, though.
But it's on the road.
To Tiki's point.
I think that matters less than it used to, but I understand.
I think at the end of the season, of those four teams, the Commanders, the Cowboys, the Steelers, and the Bills, the worst of the four are going to be the Steelers. I've said this to you guys before. They have disaster written all over it. I love Mike Tomlin. He's never had a disaster. He never had a disaster until Aaron Rodgers came into
this
world.
This is Aaron Rodgers created disaster?
No. I'm not going to put it all on him.
I got to tell you, it doesn't feel, and this is an aside from what you're talking about, but
yeah.
It doesn't feel like the Aaron Rodgers aura has taken over the Steelers like it did the Jets. Because you remember, and again, I'm not there locally. I'm not listening to their local radio. I'm not listening to all of the press conferences coming from wherever their training camp is. But last year and 2 years ago, it felt like the Jets, all they wanted to talk about was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the only thing that mattered. Jeff Olbrich, the defensive coordinator, all they wanted to talk about was Aaron Rodgers. That towel of Aaron took over. It doesn't feel like that.
It doesn't feel that way. You may be right, Sean. Ask a Pittsburgh friend if that's true. Because you are also right, Teak. Us not being there and following it every day means we're not paying attention to it anymore, thank God. So I don't know if that's happening without us realizing.
You're right.
But on the surface, I agree with you. And that's why I don't think it's necessarily Aaron Rodgers is going to set the Steelers on fire. I just can see a bad year coming. Mm. Like, but I can
why?
Just see
because
it
it's
all-
due? Because it's been 15 seasons of non-losing football for Mike Tomlin. At some point, it kind of has to happen, right?
I think that's a small part of it, but yeah. Like, sure. I mean, one of these years, you're just going to have a bad year.
Right.
And I think that this is the perfect timing. So I think when we're sitting here in January and we're recapping the football season, while the Cowboys are certainly set up to be a disaster, no one's arguing that. I think the Steelers are a bigger disaster.
Yeah, I think they'll be neck and neck right there for 6 months.
Earlier on in the show, we were talking about the Yankees and how when they acquire people, they get worse. Their defense becomes bad. They become dumb. And I mentioned that for many years. Beningo, when we did the midday show together, would say the opposite. Like, the Yankees got him. It's like he went to Lourdes. And I never understood what it meant. I've repeated it before, and I still don't know what it means. Now, we have a few people on hold who want to explain it, so I'm very excited after all these years to get the answer. Tiki didn't know. Sean didn't know.
I have no idea.
So let's go to Paul in Jersey City. Paul, please explain the Lord's thing to me.
How you doing, guys? Good afternoon. Happy pre-Friday.
Right.
This is the one time when 16 years of Catholic school comes through for me. Lourdes is a town in France.
Okay.
And what happened was in the 1850s, the Virgin Mary appeared to a peasant girl, and people would go there and get healed.
Wow. I got to tell you, I never thought Beningo was making a religious reference.
I didn't.
Judea Sanders.
I would not have expected that out of Joe Beningo.
I'm stunned. Like I really did think the Lord and Taylor thing made a lot of sense.
In hindsight, how stupid were we?
I know.
Well, it shows we didn't.
I also didn't think it was something worth looking up.
That's it, Tiki. We rely on you to look up things, and you can't rely on me and Evan and know there's a Lourdes in France. That's you. That's your territory.
And I was just in France, drove around France, and I'm trying to think, like, did I pass a Lourdes? I mean, maybe I did. I don't know. I was in a town called Ez. Eze. That's the
right.
That's how you spell it. I was told it's actually pronounced as, like as France.
Did you know there was a show shot there that Tiki saw while you were in there?
Yes.
What, in As France?
I was doing a, I was watching a show. I forget what it was now, but it was just random. And the two characters disappear after whatever. It's a spy thing. They end up in Es, France.
Really?
Yes.
As I was there.
As you were there. And I said, I've never heard of this town, even though I know it's on the French Riviera and it's beautiful and like your Mediterranean Sea and et cetera, et cetera. It's gorgeous. Whatever. I'd never heard of the town. You're there, and I see it on this show that I'm watching.
That's crazy.
It's like, maybe I should go.
Oh, you'd love it. It is a tiki town.
To go to Lourdes refers to a pilgrimage to the famous Santuario de Nostra Signora de Lourdes in France, a popular Catholic pilgrimage site where Our Lady appeared to Saint Bernadette, known for miraculous spring water, the baths, the grotto, and a significant religious event like the torchlight procession and the blessings of the sick.
Wow. That makes sense. I mean, Joe always had these references, and they all made sense. Like, the one I also didn't know for a while, and this one's more embarrassing because everyone knows it, is, like, when something bad happens, he'd say, it's like Sunny at the toll booth. And I never knew what that meant either. And then, of course, I did end up seeing The Godfather and The Godfather 2, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, crap. That's what he means.
Right.
As Sonny gets destroyed at the toll booth.
Right.
I'm like, speaking of Sonny at the toll booth, if you're the New York Jets, and I just complimented Aaron Glenn, I love them. We're inviting Kyle Wilson to training camp. I mean, seriously. I mean,
maybe he just wanted to.
Absolute stiff.
Maybe he just wanted to come say hi. Maybe he knows somebody who knows somebody.
I mean, bro. If I'm making a list, who's coming next week? Vernon Golston? I mean, what are we doing? What are we just doing? How would you feel, Sean? You're the crazy person like me. Tiki's so reasonable. He's a human. He's a nice guy.
So what's the comp? Like, to me, Eli Apple can never come back to the Meadowlands. Mm.
There you go. That is a comparison.
So I guess, yeah, I guess that would bother me.
It bothers me. I mean, Kyle Wilson was such a disaster.
But you're also saying inviting.
But what was he doing there?
I don't.
Was he like coaching intern, or was he just saying, like, he doesn't know the staff?
I think he was just,
it's like, what's he doing there?
I didn't even want to find out, because if I found out he was working with Sauce Gardner, I'd want to rip up the contract extension.
It's like, who is it I saw today? Oh, Antonio Pierce. He's back with Spags. He was seen at Kansas City Chiefs training camp,
right,
in a Kansas City outfit. So people are speculating that maybe he's going to be an assistant coach for the Chiefs.
Maybe.
Because he kind of disappeared after the Raiders' exit.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense for him to then go get another coaching job.
Spags loved him.
Yeah, that's a little different. That's okay. But Kyle Wilson, ugh, that's terrible. We'll get back to your calls.
Oh, dude, he's local.
I don't care.
He's from Piscataway, New Jersey. Mm.
Okay, so Eli Apple has an apartment in Staten Island. Is that going to change your opinion?
All I'm saying is this. If Kyle Wilson picks up the phone and says, hey, you know, I'm around, love to come watch practice, are the Jets who drafted him really going to go, remember when you sucked for us? No.
Okay, you have.
I don't think they pick up the phone and call Kyle Wilson. I think Kyle Wilson calls them, and they're just being a nice organization.
Mm. How about you sneak him in without anybody knowing? Can we do that?
All right. No, fair enough. I'm surprised anybody recognized him.
Yeah.
Well,
how long ago was that?
Kyle Wilson.
Victor Cruz is still running.
Kyle Wilson hasn't played in the NFL since 2016.
Yeah. You want to know why?
With the Saints.
You want to know why? Why hasn't he played football since 2016? Do you want to guess?
Because he's not a good football player?
There you go, Tiki. You nailed it.
Oh, I'm a genius.
Very easy game. Very easy game.
What does that make you, though? You haven't played since 2006.
It's not
I'm
fair.
Also 50.
That's fair.
He also didn't get dragged out of the league for sucking. He's like, in fact, he took the opposite. Why are you retiring? You're so good. Like, Kyle Wilson's literally the opposite. We'll get back to your calls next. A lot on the table. If you've missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, including my issue with my fellow Met fans for giving Gavin Williams a standing ovation after embarrassing the New York Mets. Plus, David Bednar saving Aaron Boone's job and grabbing the closer's job.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Mets and Yankees can't lose tonight, so that's good, as they are both off, and the Giants and Jets kick off their preseason over the weekend. Giants in the afternoon against the Buffalo Bills. You're doing the pre and the post.
I'm doing the pre and the post.
The pre and the post
with
debut.
John Schmelk.
Of Tiki Barber.
Noon on Saturday.
That should be illegal. A preseason football game.
Never used to be that way. Ever.
No, it's got to be nighttime. And the main reason it should be nighttime is not even for our viewing pleasure, but because it's so freaking hot outside.
True. Middle of summer. It's going to be brutal. It's up in Buffalo, so maybe it's like a tad bit cooler.
Yeah.
But I doubt it. But the next week's game, that's a night game. The Jet game is a night game.
Yes, it is. And then they wrap it up on a Thursday night. Same thing with the Jets. They're playing Saturday, but at least they play at night, 8 o'clock at night. And I mentioned this earlier. If you're a Met Jet fan, like most of us losers who have those two teams connected, you can see both of them lose at the same time.
Stop.
Because the Jets are at Lambeau Saturday night, 8 o'clock, and the Mets are in Milwaukee for a three-game series against the Brewers.
Jordan Love will not be playing, so don't worry about it.
That's true. And honestly,
I don't even know who the backup is, to be honest with you.
Winning or losing a preseason game doesn't do anything for me. No. It's about individual performances.
Yeah, just how they look.
How they look.
That's all that matters.
And then guys staying healthy. Those are the two most important things.
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis, he's there now.
Remember, he played last year.
Yeah, when games brought him last in. Year. Yeah. Forgot about that.
No, he was good.
I thought when he was winning games for Green Bay, he was going to be the hot name of teams who need a quarterback saying, hey, maybe Malik Willis has figured out. Let's deal for him. Obviously, it was not the case. Let's get back to your telephone calls.
Whether it's delivering an order to...
What was that? Sorry about that. Let's go to Barry in Edgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All good.
Good.
So, listen, Evan. I have, I'm a lot older than you, and I've been watching games a lot more years than you.
Okay.
And I've gone to my share of playoff games, Giants, Jets, Yankees, what have you. And everybody who roots for their team wants an anomaly. They want their team to win the World Series. They want their team to win the Lombardi Cup, okay? I'm different. I've been watching for so many years, and I've had those achievements with the Giants, with the Mets. It's all good. I watch the games to see my team win 65% of the time. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
And when I look at this team every night, I watch the Mets just faithfully, okay? When they lose because of pitching, they get killed. I mean, 12-5, 13-2, you know, whatever it is. When they don't, they have players that are good enough to win the game. This team, to me, seems to be a team that just wants to make the playoffs the same way they did last year and are playing to that level. There's not enough urgency. There's not enough drive. And I fault Mendy for a lot of that.
What makes you think
it's a dangerous way to play?
No, but what makes you think that's what's happening? Like, what about watching these games makes you think they don't have an urgency?
Because I see the guys that are good not being good. I see Nimmo not hitting. Pete is the only one that seems to me to be really trying. And I applaud him for that.
I know, but I just can't agree with that.
I think trying is the wrong word. I think dialed in is the better word. And maybe for Pete, it's because of his circumstances. He's basically going to be a free agent.
Yeah,
again.
But do you agree with that assessment that the Mets aren't dialed in?
It feels like it. Their performance isn't.
But just because a performance isn't good doesn't mean it's occurring because they're of a lack of focus.
Okay, so if you are a historically really good, and in some cases great baseball player, right, talking about Juan Soto, Brandon Nimmo, he's consistent. He's the epitome of a baseball player. He runs out walks.
Right.
Right. So why are they struggling? Because it's not like you just lose the ability to be good at what you've been good at your entire life. Why are they struggling?
But
now?
Because I can't give you an answer on why they've struggled collectively.
But it's all of them.
I agree, but that doesn't mean there's a lack of focus.
I don't say it's focus.
That's what he's saying.
It's just, I think it's more of a, I don't know. It's why you can't help but assume that there's a laissez-faire attitude going on. Like, oh, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't feel that from Mindy. Because when I hear from Mindy, what he says is, yeah, that's not the third base coach's fault. That's my fault.
Right.
Like, it's my job to get them ready. And so when things aren't going right, I'm going to tell them about it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be accountable. When the manager is accountable, you have to assume that the player is accountable. And that's been the pushback or the gripe with Aaron Boone. It never feels like he's personally taking accountability.
Right.
And so you know that the player isn't. And now we know why, because Cashman told us when we had him on last week. Aaron Boone feels like the New York media, the fan bases, they crush the players. So he's got to be the antithesis of that and create calm and belief and whatever nonsense you want to throw out there. It's just words. At the end of the day, great players should be able to consistently be great. And for some reason, both of our teams are not right now.
I don't know why. I was saying this yesterday when I was doing the Rico all frustrated. I said, I don't honestly care about the why. Like, don't tell me how the beat was made.
It doesn't matter.
The results suck.
Right.
So I don't care why. They've got to be better. I just don't share the assumption our last caller has, despite watching many years of baseball, that this team isn't trying, which is essentially what he's saying, that there's no urgency and they're not trying. I don't buy it. I think sometimes when your offense is as limp as it's looked, it appears that way. But that doesn't mean that they're not trying. Let me tell you something about Juan Soto. Did I like Juan Soto's hustle level on that triple? I did not. Did Juan Soto pull a Ricky Henderson and taking his time to get that ball in the right field wall? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It could have been better. It should have been better. I will raise my hand and agree with that.
Right.
Juan Soto, and I have heard this from numerous people, many people, works harder than everybody. He is like an artist with his craft. So I'll criticize that he's Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. I'll criticize that he hasn't come up with clutch hits, but I would be doing fan fiction if I came on the radio and says he doesn't care, because the evidence doesn't back that up.
No.
Everything I've heard is that he cares about the food that's going into his body. He cares about the amount of hours of sleep he's getting. He watches tape. He works his ass off on hitting, and his hitting hasn't been good enough. So I can't say it's related to effort, and those who do are just looking for the whys. And sometimes when we're searching for whys, Tiki, we just literally make crap up.
No, of course you do. You make it up because you're trying to make an excuse for the athlete's poor performance, right? I remember going through this as when I was fumbling. Why is Tiki fumbling? Oh, it's because he does this. Oh, it's because he's on, I don't know, Fox News on Tuesday mornings. Whatever. You come up with every excuse possible to try to find an answer, when in reality, for me, it was just mechanical. It was the physics of holding a football. For Juan Soto and Brandon Nimmo and all these other, Lindor and Alonso, and probably, it's probably something very similar.
Or maybe.
It's a little tweak in something that they've done a million times. And they just don't know that it's wrong yet.
It's not possible.
that Britt Hume said something so stupid to you that you got distracted and fumbled a football because of it?
Maybe.
It's possible. Maybe. Hey, you never know.
Maybe.
That's my example, Britt Hume. Sean's confused. Yeah, I don't know who that person is.
But I was with Ducey and Kilmeade.
Oh, dude, I should have used Ducey as an example. He would have been the perfect guy. Isn't his son the guy who's the White House correspondent now? Or is that someone else?
I don't know.
Ducey's son.
Steve Ducey, really? I don't know.
Am I getting the...
I believe it's Peter Ducey,
yes.
Right?
Is he related?
Yes, he's his son.
I think so.
Peter Ducey is the pain-in-the-ass White House reporter. And his father was kind of... I'm going to be mean with my comparison.
Ducey?
No, I wouldn't even say that. Schmucky. Like, he was just like, oh, I'm funny, but I'm really not funny. Like, bro, leave the laughs to Greg Gutfeld. You know what I'm saying? Now, not that I would know.
Yes, he's the eldest child of Steve Ducey.
Yeah.
And Kathy.
And Kathy Ducey.
Right.
The Ducey, who's the Ducey who's the White House correspondent?
Peter.
Peter Ducey?
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate Peter Ducey.
Peter James.
He's a pain in the ass, but I kind of like that. I think you need that in your White House correspondence. Mm-hmm. Who's that woman who died who was such a pain in the ass? What was her name?
What?
Well, that's a nice eulogy.
I know.
Way okay. to go, Francesa.
Okay, hold on. She died a while ago. She was like a staple as a White House correspondent. She was this old woman, and she was just, and I say pain in the ass in a good way, by the way. Like, I think you need to be, we need to hold our presidents accountable. So I am not.
Oh, so she would ask the probing questions.
Oh, my God.
Right.
I mean,
she's not throwing chalk up there. Like, she's asking something real.
Yeah.
Right.
I think so, for the most part. She was probably an ideologue. I can't remember, but whatever. What was her name? Old woman sat in the corner, like, oh my God. Dana Perino was like, can you leave already? What are you doing here?
I'm forgetting. I know Sean was trying to look it up, but his search skills are bad.
You've got no shot.
It's not Helen Thomas, right?
Yes, you nailed it. Thank you.
Exactly.
Helen Thomas. Thank you. Right. Take that back, T. No shot. How did you do that? Helen die? I'm going to guess 2011.
2013. I looked up old pain in the ass White House correspondent dies.
That is not what you said.
Yeah. And I'm going through. I see a Bill Moyers a bunch of times. And then I finally got the first female I found was Helen Thomas.
Mm. Helen Thomas was the answer.
Yes.
Yeah. She was a pain in the rear end, but that's okay. So this Ducey guy is a real pain in the ass. That was what I was
Peter
trying
Ducey.
To get. Peter Ducey.
Peter
Ducey, yeah. Right. Let's go to Cologne in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Cologne?
Hey, CK, Evan. You know, Evan, on the Jets, you know, I really like the fact that Evan Glantz will play starters. You know, I think they really need that. But they cannot win all three of the preseason games, okay? I have seen this before. Back in 1992, they went 4-0. Browning Nagel, yes. Of Dan Marino, and there was a laughing stock.
So and by the way, Cologne, Browning-Nagel, if I'm not mistaken, they not only didn't lose in the preseason, I think they went 5-0 because they had the extra preseason game.
Oh, because of the Hall of Fame game? Wow.
Oh,
that's brutal.
And how many wins did they have in the regular season trivia contest? Browning-Nagel and the Jets go 5-0 in the preseason.
I'll
never forget like the amount of wins. It was 91, I think.
Oh, I have no idea.
91?
Let me confirm it was 91. I want to get the exact year right. I don't want to mislead you in that regard. It was not 1991. What year was it?
All right, so but 5 wins. So it means it's going to be they've won less games in the regular season.
Okay, Mike.
4 wins in the regular season.
It was 1992, and that year they finished 4-12.
There you go.
He was 3-10. So he won more games. It's just a disaster. I don't know if I'll think that until like the end of the third game. Like if they win the first game, it's like cool.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Giants, great. I think if I'm at the Eagle game or watching the Eagle game. And they're about to go 3-0, then I'd say, I don't know if I want that. Let's go to Alex in Lincoln Park. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
First time calling in. I just want to say I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
You guys are great. Quick point about Kyle Wilson. And, you know, I'd rather not be thinking about Kyle Wilson on a Thursday in August in 2025, but here we are. So, I believe Kyle Wilson was with the Saints when Aaron Glenn was there, and I think they overlapped.
That makes sense.
That's where that comes
right.
together.
That makes sense.
It makes sense, but it's still not a good enough
but
reason.
But what is Kyle Wilson doing now?
Teaching kids about how not to be a bust in the NFL?
That's not true.
I don't know. I mean, he could give advice, honestly. Like, to his credit, Ryan Leaf has become so valuable in talking about his experiences. Obviously, he had a lot of off-the-field stuff, too. And Ryan, I mean, he goes around, he's like, yeah, I was a bust. And he can talk about that and be helpful. So, obviously, very different with Kyle Wilson, but maybe he can talk to a young player and say, hey, look, I know what it's like to suck in the NFL.
This is how you do it the right way, and this is how you do it the wrong way.
Yeah. Like, he could say, my biggest mistake was listening to the midday show after Jet games. I'd hear Beningo say horrible things about me. Evan would agree with him. And it just torpedoed my NFL career. Mm. So, piece of advice, don't listen to sports talk radio. Especially at 1 o'clock after... What time does Joe come on? 4 o'clock Mondays after Jet games.
Mr. Smiles Muhi.
Mr. Smiles.
Yeah.
Does he smile a lot?
I have not noticed that.
Darren Muhi.
First of all, we haven't seen him.
Muhi disappeared.
We saw him once. Maybe he smiled that one time.
Mm. Muhi is like non-existent. And this was so predictable when the Jets did this whole thing with Muhi and Glenn. Like, he's there, but he's not really there. Like, right. You never see him. You don't hear from him. Aaron Glenn is the voice. He is the face. And I would probably even say the decision maker behind the New York Football Jets.
By the way, they needed that.
I agree.
And Glenn was hired first.
Yeah, by a little bit of time. But yes, it's Aaron Glenn. It's the Aaron Glenn show. And what I'm going to find interesting for all of us, because you guys are Giants, I'm a Jet, right? Here's what I find interesting. Aaron Glenn and Brian Daboll could not be more different in the way they handle the media.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Glenn is like, shut up, you idiot.
Right.
This is why I'm doing it. You're a moron for asking the question.
Stop asking me the same question because I'm going to keep giving you the same answer.
Now, play. That's the reason.
Now, right now, he hasn't lost the game yet. Mm-hmm. So I love it. It's fantastic. They start losing games. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm going to feel about this. Brian Daboll is Bill Belichick on steroids. He won't say anything. He'll give you nothing. It clearly annoyed a lot of Giant fans last year. We'll see about this year. It's a brand new year.
Right.
But our two head coaches in this town could not treat questions any more differently.
I think the Aaron Glenn thing will wear on them, though.
Well, they all will because the Daboll thing.
On the media?
Yeah, on the media. Because the Daboll one-word answers. I mean, you have Pat Leonard basically asking about job security after week one at that point.
Yeah, that was just idiotic of him, though.
But don't you think the same thing...
That wasn't fair.
But the same thing happened to Daboll. Like, eventually, once the losing occurred, not in the first year, obviously, the media then got tired of the non-answers and turned on him. So I think the same thing happens. The only way it doesn't happen is if you pull a Buck. Buck was brilliant at this. Just kiss their ass. I'm serious. Buck Showalter.
Yeah, but didn't Sala try to do that?
He did. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me retort this. I think he did. Did they really turn on him?
No, they didn't. In fact, when he got fired after week four, they kind of supported him.
See what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
Like, were the knives really out for Robert Saleh?
No, I think the fan knives were out for Robert Saleh. Well, I don't remember the media knives being out for
him. Here's the difference, Teak. We can't be fooled. We don't give a damn how they treat the media, right?
Yeah.
We may turn on the attitude of guys, but it's a bottom-line business. So in Saleh's case, yeah, I mean, I was done with him. Mm-hmm. We were all done with him. But I think it actually shows you that if you kiss, I don't want to pick on Brian Costello. I love him. Brian Costello's ass, you know, maybe he won't kill you as much.
Mm.
Or Pat Leonard, whatever writer you want to come up with. So they both have strategies that'll alienate the media.
Right.
It's just a matter of, it's a different way they're going about it.
Right, and you get away with it no matter what if you're winning.
Here's a real question, Sean.
Okay.
I want you to be honest. Right. Which style, I assume they're both winning, okay? Everything's great. Which style do you prefer? The Glenn hard ass or the Daboll? I'm not telling you anything. Here's before he answers, here's why this is funny to me. Knowing Sean, it's clear what he prefers, but he's such a giant shill.
No.
He won't give the Jets anything.
No.
Go ahead.
The realness in me as I approach 40 as a football fan is I like that guys don't give you anything because we don't deserve to hear anything. The radio host in me loves a good sound clip, and you're more likely to get that of the Aaron Glenn style. So I guess I choose Aaron Glenn because I prefer entertainment.
Okay. Touche, sir. Touche. Mm. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-O coming up in a few minutes.
Is it already five? Wow.
Yeah. Show flies by, man. And then we will get back to your phone calls. A lot of Mets, Yankees, some Jets and Giants mixed in as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. And I wanted to get to this the other day, but I'm glad Tiki's here because he is somebody who I think could pull this off. We tell you about and see if any of us can pull off this new phenomenon that's going around sports these days. The 999 Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want.
You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.